in your Bibles to 1 John 4:4. Family tradition. Family tradition is an aggregate of attitudes, ideas, environments, which is a person inherits from their parents. So I'm going to be talking about the family traditions in God's family. I want to talk about your family. We're going to bring your family into some of the conversations today. Some of it is funny and some of it's kind of serious, but nonetheless, as we look into our families today, I think we're going to learn some very valuable lessons from God and His words. So say my family. Say that with me, my family. We're going to talk about them as all y'all that are in the sanctuary and those who are at home in live stream world. I want you to listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is greater than he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let me say that again. Read this with me. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. So what does that mean? Let's talk about that for just a second. So greater is God, the Holy Spirit, living inside me than he who is living in the world, and that is the enemy and or Satan and his minions and or devils. So I'll tell you a story since you want to hear it anyways. So here's the thing. So I thought last week I had some people who were concerned. They said, hey, Pastor, we watched your live stream service and you appear to be just a little less than 100% in your appearance. You appeared to be still struggling, gasping for breath as you were preaching the sermon. And I thought about that for just a second. I thought about how would I reply to a comment of such. And I thought, here's how I'll describe that. If you've been where I've been, in a bedroom, battling it out with the devil for about 20 days, now you're going to have to listen to this to get this. You may look like your teeth hasn't been brushed or your hair hasn't been combed. But inside of me, all is well with my soul. So here's the, hold on for a second. Here's the thing. I was thinking about your family. And sometimes appearance can be very misleading. I was thinking about that when I look at the families that are there or my family. And sometimes, and ladies can relate to this, if you have been sick or you have had a child that has been sick and you have been up for days and days and days and still have to feed the family, your appearance may appear that you're little less than the supermom. But deep down inside, you're just as mom as you was on the day when you had your family portrait and you had it touched up a little bit before you brought it back into the house. That's all I'm trying to say. So don't let this appearance fool you. All is well with my soul. And let me go on record. The devil tried to rub me out, but I am here only by the grace of God and the healing power of His Holy Spirit, I say. Now, can I get back to the message? I'm about to. 4:18, here it goes, and we're going to be talking about family. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. And verse 20 is the one that you're going to need to deal with. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must, say this with me, must also love his brother. Now close your eyes for just a second. I'm gonna bring you into your family. Everybody has a person in their family. An Uncle Joe or a Johnny Rotten, or maybe little Susie. In the ministry world, we call them quote unquote project people. And you can open up your eyes now. And you know who they are when they come to the family reunion. They're the people who always seem to be a little bit in trouble, and they seem to stir the pot wherever they go. But you still love them anyway. Say this with me, because that's my family. Now here's the deal. I can talk about them all day long, but don't you? So I find that, and I want to help you because you guys are going to be inviting your families to this church. The way I translate this to you is this. If you bring your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother or your children or your grandchildren, and it's usually a guy, and it's usually an older gentleman, that'll miss a button on his shirt. And then when he goes to button it back up, it'll be crooked just a little bit. And that's one of your family members that you invite to church. And you know that the button is going to be buttoned incorrectly. And I'm going to bring him because I want him to hear about this Jesus that you all talk about. But don't you say anything to him. The last thing we need is a church person fixing your family. We don't need the church doing that. We need the church to love your family because that's my family. We'll let God do the fixing. I said we'll let God do the fixing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we get the tracks lubed up for the word and the message, I pray that we push personal agendas aside, bitterness, fits of rage, jealousy, or anger, and let the true love of the Holy Spirit move forward, and we learn about families, large and small, or whatever the case may be. And I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let the offering be picked up as well. Thank you. So Genesis chapter 8, verse 15. Now, I want to tell you that the Lord dropped this in my spirit yesterday morning, right before I went to the farm. The bulk of the message will come from Ephesians 5. So put that in your crock pot for just a second. So when I'm walking out the door, I'm thinking about this. I'm sitting down. God says, hey, listen, Genesis 8:15, everything has got to be destroyed up to this point because everything is so wicked. Families have become wicked. Sin has arise to a new level. God wipes out everything but the family. Say, but family. So what we believe is the family is the backbone of society. And we know we've seen some people who have come from broken homes and in dysfunctional families, and maybe your family, my family, maybe it's a little dysfunctional, but God is trying to get it together and help you. Not necessarily for the days that you're healthy, but for the days where you need to cash a check on that account because somebody's not feeling well. Amen. You got to make sure we're depositing something today in case I might need it later down the road. And if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Or the message may not even be for you. It may be, you may be the carrier of the message so you can tell somebody about it. So families are the backbone of the world. Family is defined as parents and children living together in a household. And obviously we know since the families are so strong and so prominent in the Bible, the devil's going to do everything he can to tear down and destroy your family. And I know we're living in this world now where a lot of the kids are going to be at home and they're going to be quote-unquote learning from their computers. Keep your eyes on me for just a second. I'm not really quite sure what anybody's expectations are of the government teaching your children by computers. My problem with this type of learning is that children are going to slowly forget how to talk to one another, how to communicate, how to exercise, how to ride their bicycles, how to be outside, how to all these different things. I'm afraid that they're going to lose this and they're going to be engulfed inside their computer and never be outside and never get sunshine and never learn to hear the birds chirping and the wind blowing and all these different things. And if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. There's just certain things I can't learn on a computer. Amen. Quite frankly, I don't learn anything on a computer. I'll just be honest with you, it would clear the air. But I can tell you that one of my biggest struggles when I was going through my illness was trying to find something to watch on my phone that didn't have swearing or cursing in it. And I found very, very little, so I just pretty much stayed with boxing and roping because of my two favorite subjects. So I watched a lot of those videos. So going through the things that we go through as a family, when families are strong, we see mighty miracles, not just in your family or my family, but also in the family of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about some of the traditions for just a second. Some of you guys have pizza parties on Friday nights. When you leave Friday night from wherever you're at, or dad's coming home and we're going to have pizza, or like mine is kind of like Sunday, we're going to go eat some ice cream. And then Monday, we're going to go eat some ice cream. Just say tradition. It's just something that we do. And I want to be thinking about yours too. And dad sits in that chair and grandma always fixed the ham and all these things. I'm going to be taking you someplace. So just start to make those deposits. It's a family tradition. Say that with me. It's a family tradition. And when we get together, we all deer hunt together. And I remember that with Jesse's family and his grandpa and his daddy and all of them who had grown up. They always hunted together and I always would go out there and hunt. And we didn't do a whole lot of hunting, but we did a whole lot of getting together. That's a tradition. It was a family tradition. Amen? There's something healthy in it. There's something that we can build together when we keep these traditions alive. And we never want tradition to become our God. But nonetheless, we have to have traditions to keep our family strong. Amen? So let's see. God wanted to wipe everything out in Genesis up to this point in Genesis 8:15. But the one thing he wanted to keep together was the family unit. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you, and bring out with you everything that is with you of all flesh, birds, animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth, and say this with me, class, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So a lot of times we think that that's all God wants us to do is procreate, recreate, have babies and all that. That's part of the plan. But what he says here is, I want you to live a life of order, or law and order. God's a God of order and not an order, a God of chaos. And you say, well, how do you know that? At the very start of setting up the family, when he said, come out of my boat, you come out. Two by two. No one's running over anybody. Nobody's kicking my boat. Nobody's destroying my boat. Nobody's blasting out the windows. Nobody's kicking the doors in. They might have wanted to do all that, but God said, don't do that on my boat. I need somebody to talk back to me tonight. See, God wasn't interested in what you want to do. He says, here's what you're going to do. You can take that home with you tonight. Don't be so consumed with what your children want to do. Here's what you're gonna do. And quite frankly, I told my pastors and my deacons this morning, just because the government says we're gonna teach your children with a computer, that don't think that that's your only option. There's many options out there. And if somebody wants to talk to me about it after church, I'd be more than happy. There's many options. There's private schools, there's Christian schools, and there's maybe you do some mothers and people doing some homeschooling or whatever the case may be. But don't ever think that God has abandoned you and there's no other option than the government teaching your children by a video screen. Who am I talking to today? I mean, come on for a second. You're not going to get to the point where you're starting to believe that this is really the way God's ordained this. You guys had such a strong desire to be at church. You go, you know what? I'm willing to get to church to hear the word of God and have communion with the rest of the believers. So I'm going to take the calculated risk today. And I thought about this, and I told the pastors and deacons this morning, Lou Holtz, if you haven't heard of any of his stuff before, he had something online. He said, how about all the men that stormed the beaches of Normandy? The risk, it's nothing like the pandemic. They knew there was going to be hundreds of thousands of people that died. But they went anyways. And Lou Holtz says, he said, we're just wanting people to get back to life. We're not asking that you sacrifice yourself. We're just asking you to get back to life. Be safe, be smart, but start living again. Can I get an amen in his house? Start living again. Personal testimony. What was it like for somebody that lived through it like I did? It wasn't good. But I'm here today by the grace of God. And when it's time for me to go, it'll be because God said it's time to go. And it won't be because anybody else said it was time to go. Amen. And when it's time to go with God, like I said, you better make sure you're depositing stuff week after week after week, day after day, and healing scripture and people praying for you over and over and over, not for today, but for a day that you need it so you can cash the check on that account. Some of our families are spiritual bankrupt right now. They ain't got nothing to go on. Well, let's see what the godly families do here, Lord. Let's see. I'm just reading, and if you don't like the way it's wrote, you'll have to take it up with God. So he says, be fruitful and multiply. So what does Noah say in 8:18? So Noah went out, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families. From the ark. It went out by families, and that means there was order. Do you remember back when you was in school, when you walked into there was something called a lunch line. Don't get out of the lunch line. Say it with me, in line. Today in society, we applaud things that are out of line. Here's the problem with things that are out of line, Nature Boy. They don't work. They might work out there in playland, but in the real world, getting out of line doesn't work. Don't get out of line in front of my daddy. It doesn't work. It might be old school, but that's my family. There's certain things that God has ordained, and there's certain things that God looks down his nose at. And he doesn't ordain chaos and confusion. He's a God of order. Can I keep reading this? So don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what he says. And then what does the godly family do in verse 8:20? Then Noah, what did he do? He built an altar. As soon as he got off the boat, he wasn't braggadocious and go, "Oh, I really made it through there. I'm such a tough guy. I know how to sail the seven seas, and I had a right amount of water for my kids." And I told him, when he got off, he was humble, and he got on his knees, and his family got on his knees, and he built an altar before the Lord. Can I get a witness in his house today? I don't know. And it doesn't have to be any place special, Mark. Your couch, your love, whatever it is. Build an altar where your family meets there and you have devotion, you have prayer. What a novel concept where you guys all love each other and grow in Christ. That's an altar. Or you can build an idol for yourself. I don't know if I'd do that. Idols aren't working real well right now, are they? And here's what I would say before we move forward with any family. Get rid of bitterness, rage, self, me. Sometimes in families, there's a lot of sacrificing going on. Amen? And some of you parents have sacrificed everything to get your kids to where they're at now. Verse 21 says, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for his intention, for the intention of man's heart, what is it? Is evil from his youth. So I don't mean to pop your bubble, but your heart, basically, is what he's saying, is desperately wicked. Who knows it but the Lord? Amen. So if your heart's wicked and my heart's wicked, there's only one thing we can do about it, is have spiritual heart surgery and ask Jesus to come in and fix what's really broken in my life. If you want to know what's really broken in the society, it's sin, S-I-N, sin. And it's described in 1 John 5:17 as all wrongdoing. So the only way to fix all the problems that are going on in the world today, whether it's the pandemic or anything else, is turn to the Lord, repent. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, let's get into the message today. So, Father God, bless the message today as it goes forth, and that it touches people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to get into the grandmas now. Here we go. It says, therefore, be imitators of God, 5:1 in Ephesians, as beloved children. You know what I was thinking about? I just kind of give you a for instance. If you have your children and my grandchildren or whoever it is, and you happen to be like at a park or a softball game or something like that, and one of your kids, one of your younger kids is fighting with somebody on the slide. You know how it is when a 10-year-old, one wants to go and the other one, and then another mother hears that your grandson is yelling at another 10-year-old, and she wants to butt in and get in the fight. Did you know that that child's grandmother can hear the shriek of another grandmother from about 30 yards away? And here's how it is. And first it starts to, the head starts to turn slowly. And she'll turn slow. And then she'll snap it back to the family and say, was she talking about my grandson? Now, I can talk about Junior because every once in a while, he might be an instigator. But don't you talk about him. I said, don't you talk about him because that's my family. And I thought about that, and he's wonderful. I actually thought about my mom at this point. My mom always was very influential in my life. She was the same mom who was loving and caring, and she was also the same mom that could tell somebody off with a cigarette between her lips as she was telling you what she thought of you. Amen? And everybody has that type of a mom or a grandma. And because that's my family, and we was always scared to death. I was scared to death that my mom would come up and actually sit in the classroom with me. Because she told me she would do that if I didn't straighten up. And I wasn't afraid of her sitting in the classroom with me. I was afraid of what she would be wearing when she came in to the classroom. You know how to bouffant hair up to here and a scarf. Say amen if you know what a scarf is. Oh, she's going to wear that thing up in here. That's intimidating. Just off the sheer size of it. Amen. Say, that's my family. And you know if your dad has to come up to the PTA meeting, he's going to say something, ain't he? Amen. That's my family. Verse 2. Well, what I'm getting at on verse 1 is it says, therefore be imitators of God. We want to say something back to the smart person that is popping off to your child, but we can't because we're held by this. I have to be an imitator of God. I want to. And you're battling with, and it might even be pulling up to the stop. I still struggle. It's confession time. I still struggle with pulling up to the stoplight when the guy behind me was riding my tail. whether it's on my bike or my little high-powered car. I'm like, and we pull up, guys, help me out here. We're both at the light. You know I'm looking over there. I'm like, man, was you just on my tail like that? And I would like to say something and actually maybe roll down the window, Bill, but I have to be an imitator of God. No, you didn't get it. You'd have said something to me. That keeps you in the seat. And a guy always says the same thing. I told Mike Sr. about that. This guy behind me must think I'm a punk. And you want to show him so bad that you're not, but you have to be an imitator of God. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We have to walk in love because God loves that guy that's driving that Kawasaki as much as he loves me. It's hard, I know. It's a stretch for him. But sexual immorality, impurity, or covetousness must not even be named among you as improper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. We've talked about this before. Your mom didn't want you talking like that. If you were talking like that, she would wash your mouth out with soap. And those people who know what I'm talking about say amen. Which are out of place. And I never did understand why they quit doing that. I think it would still be effective to this day. My mom would be the kind of person who would still be washing mouths out with soap. My mom really didn't care what anybody else felt like. She raised her family how she thought would be best to move us forward. And some people would scratch their head going, man, you guys, Rankins, you guys really kind of struggled there for a while, didn't you? Yeah, but we made it, though. Remember, it just because a family's struggling doesn't mean they ain't going to come out on the other side. Some of you guys look like I was thinking about that. They thought, oh, well, he doesn't look like he's doing too good. Boy, you should have seen me before I was born again. That's something to look at. Amen? I'm on the other side now. Don't let the appearance fool you. I'm really doing good inside. So don't let there be any filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving for you. May be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, impure, or is covetousness has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Man, I'll tell you what, that's some heavy stuff there in 5:5. Let that marinate. And that may not even go well right now in today's society. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Say disobedience. I'm going to talk to you about three levels of being grounded. When you were disobedient, you were grounded. Grounded on the property. My dad would ground me and my brother. You couldn't go off the property. That was level one grounding. And that was tough. Because I could stand at the edge of the street and I so bad wanted to put my toe in the street just to be a little bit of an outlaw. Level two of groundedness means you're grounded inside the house. You can't go outside the house, but you could talk to your friend through the screen door. Say screen door. They don't even have screen doors anymore because all we do is run the air conditioning. But don't you remember, it's your family's house, that screen door, it would open and slam shut. That means somebody's there. Or if you had like little brothers and sisters, that screen wasn't even hardly there. You could stick like a bowling ball through the screen, it was so busted out. Say my family. Yeah, they were picking at it. Level two of groundedness is being grounded to your yard. And then level three is like the highest of all outlaws, being grounded in your bedroom. Kids now think that's paradise, being in their bedroom. That was the ultimate form of punishment. And back when my shoulders were flexible, I could actually be in my bedroom with my feet in my bedroom, and I could grab this door and this, and I could lean out about 2 or 3 feet into freedom. I might have been grounded back here with my feet, but my head and my soul was out in freedom land. Don't act like you didn't do it and want to see if somebody's down the hall. Somebody bring me something in here. Now kids can stay in their bedroom for weeks. What we used to think is punishment, they call heaven now. Amen? Things are a little different these days, ain't they? Say my family. My family. Tried it, verse 10 says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, but take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. I asterisked that and I highlighted that in there. So make sure that you don't take any part in the unfruitful works of darkness. That means we need to stay away from them and not glorify them, but continue to walk in the Lord. Amen. I got to say this. I like state fairs. I like county fairs. He asked me, say, why do you like that? Because I think families are real there. Little Johnny's got soccer shorts on and cowboy boots. He's 7 years old. Dad's just going a little rogue. He's got the hat on backwards. And little sis has a snow cone smeared all over her shirt. And mom is holding their hand and just smiling over the whole flock. She said, that's my family right there. Because it seems like people are authentic when they get out in public where just like everybody's is alike. Amen? That's something that's special, I think, that we're missing in society today. We're too polished and we're too... I'm trying to think of what they call that when they dress up a picture and somebody looks one way and they highlight it and you're all like a model when you get done. Photoshop, there you go. You can't watch this, look at me. You can't Photoshop when you go to a state fair. Look at your family and say, that's my family. We go to the state fair, that's my family. Hey, you can't Photoshop this. You can't Photoshop my divorce and my child's been in jail, out of jail, and my husband's done this and my wife's done that. You can't Photoshop that. Somebody talk back to me at this church. You can't dress that up. You can't Photoshop that. That's where you need God in that family right there, because this is real stuff. Give me this flowery stuff. You know, I was talking in the last service. I said, it seems like everybody knows if you're a member of Have Bible Will Travel, doesn't it? You're like, oh, you go to that church, don't you? Say that with me. Say, that's my family. Everybody knows when you want to Have Bible Will Travel. Oh, stop it. I was talking. Can I tell you another story and I'll get on with it? So me and Darren's out there, Pastor Darren's cutting the grass, and Mike's got boxing going on here, and we're cutting the grass, and the Bible study's going at you, whoop, boom, people in and out and in and out. And the guy comes out. He's never been here before. He brought his son to box, and he comes out and said, he said, man, he goes, those are people in there. He goes, they're really nice. I don't know what he was expecting, everybody to be clubbing each other or what. I don't know. And I was pretty ragtag headband and cutting grass out here and doing all things. He said, man, I just can't get over how nice everybody is and was to us. And Pastor Aaron's going, man, that's the way the church has always been. He said, Pastor Pat really pushes for that everybody loves everybody. He goes, man, that's awesome. I'd love to meet him. And Pastor Aaron goes, that's Pastor Pat right there. And he goes, where? Amen. So I don't have the appearance, but I want him to know that's the way things are in there. Amen. So don't let the appearance fool you. We need to glorify the Lord, and the way we glorify the Lord is continue to help one another in our family issues. Rise up with me. Just got a couple verses left, and we'll ask Miss Carol to come forward. So I'm going to be pulling your family into this now, so you be ready for your family. I'm not going to pick on them, but we're going to talk about the wonderful things that your family does. Close your eyes and think about this. What do you do? What do you do on Fridays and on Sundays? What do you do? What was the family tradition you you always go to the farm, or you eat pizza, or you deer hunt together, or you, or whatever. And we always meet grandma and grandpa for this. And I always take my daughter to so-and-so. And I always call her on like Friday night, Nature Boy, to make sure she's okay. And Chris, I always make sure I check on the girls. Because that's my family. That's my family. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I want to tell you something. I got something that really just got into my spirit. And you guys know my daughter went to college, and then my grandson went to another college. And, man, that's tough. You know, you play the tough guy role. Play the tough guy role. Until it comes to your house and you got to hug and say your goodbyes. And I'm like, man, you know what? I ain't ready for that. So why do we go to church? Why do we do what we do? I'm going to explain that to you. So here's why we do that. I told you that back when I was a young teenager, my mom put a scripture in my wallet that says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. My mom's not even around anymore. She hasn't met any of my grandchildren. You said, do you think that your grandma Arlene knew something? I do. She said, I may not ever be able to reach this boy, but one day that scripture is marinating and getting in my spirit somehow. Come on, Mom. One scripture marinating in the spirit, man, of a young teenage boy being me. And then I ended up getting saved, and you know the story. And then that was my stand on it verse, Philippians 4:13. And then my son seen me come to the Lord, and then my son comes to the Lord, and he knows about that. And then he calls me. He said, Dad, before Chase left, now, I'm not pushing or condoning or telling you to, my oldest grandson, before he took off to college, Dad, he got tattooed on his forearm, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody had to deposit that in my spirit so I could share it with my son, so he could share it with his son. So, is anybody getting any of this yet? Because this is where you need to live. But maybe not everybody understood my mom and her tactics. But here's the deal. Look at each other. It worked. It worked. The things that grandmas and grandpas do and daddies do, they may not even seem like they work. You go, what in the world are you calling me for? Because I got something I needed to deposit in your spirit, because you may have to check in there, Kevin, and I want to make sure there's something there that you can look back to. So here it is. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this is our final scripture of the morning. What is the will of the Lord? Well, according to His word, He wishes that no man perish. I don't know how you was brought up believing that some get saved and some don't get saved. I don't read the Bible that way. There's this crazy thing called free will. It got you out there on tour so far from the Lord. Some of you guys say your grandma and your mama says, hey, that boy has lost his mind, but I pray for him every night. Every night. Smoking, joking, drinking, wheeling, stealing, and everything in between. But your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa continue to pray for you anyway. Say it with me anyway. Anyway, you may look like the something that the cat drug in. Let's just be quite honest with each other today. When I was out there, I was a hellion. I was representing hell itself. But somewhere in that season of life, that one scripture, friend, just kind of marinated in it. It marinated up into my spirit. It got on me. It got on me like glue. And it's never left my side. Did you go to and fro? Oh, you're dang skippy, you went to and fro. But it was only the prayers of your mama and your daddy and whoever else in that church. You always heard them saying that. We was praying for you at church. And you got wore out with that. I don't hear about your church. But you're in it today, aren't you? Oh, somebody got to say something. Hey! And I'll leave you with this, and we'll let it. Can you imagine sending your child out there and they don't know how to get to heaven? Franny, what a tragedy. To build swing sets and take them fishing and all kinds of wonderful things that you do, and you never told your children how to get to heaven? You want to talk about a pandemic? That's a pandemic. That's a crisis. So here's how you get to heaven. Let me tell you this, because your children may be watching. You just ask Jesus to be your Lord and be your Savior. Well, why should I do that, Pastor Pat? Because we know that the death rate on planet Earth is still 100%. Everybody's going to die. Where you end up is wherever you tell God you want to be. It's called free will. Ed, nothing's changed since the Garden of Eden. So, same thing, free will. Do whatever you want to do. You say, well, I was thinking about it. I'm going to go ahead and run and gun a little bit more, and then I'll come back to the Lord. My problem with that is if you haven't been saved and you're running gun and you end up dying in your sin, you're done. Okay, so accept the free gift that Jesus paid on the cross at Calvary. Poured out all his blood and your sins removed that would be counted against you. And then let me pray for the grandmas and the grandpas and the moms and the dads that are here today. I want to pray for somebody who's been through something right now. Just raise your hand. Just right there. I'm talking, been through something. If it wasn't for the love of Jesus Christ and his power, I don't believe any of us would be here today, do you? I don't think it would even be possible. Look at the stories in this sanctuary. Ask God right now. Say, God, I want you to reveal your plan for my life today. Just ask him. And then ask him this, and then I'll leave you alone. Give me the discernment and the clarity to hear you and how I should run my household. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said, amen.